All right, let me now introduce our speaker. Today we are blessed to have Kimberly Watson Hemphill, who is a gatewayer from the movie theater day. She's been here with her husband for a long, long time. She's the CEO and founder of Firefly Consulting and has been voted one of the top women-owned businesses 5 years in a row by the Austin Business Journal. She has written two business books. One of them is on your table, Fast Innovation, as well as Innovating Lean Six Sigma. She's also on the faculty of the Acton MBA Entrepreneurship Program, where she teaches operations. She's on the board of Impact India 360, an organization which is dedicated to ending poverty in rural India. And as I mentioned, she's attended Gateway. She's going to be a great speaker. And without further ado, Kimberly, take it away.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, share with you today on the first business network lunch. It's a privilege to be here. I have attended Gateway since the movie theater days, but I usually go to South Austin, so I see some North Austin faces that I haven't seen in quite a while, and that's a lot of fun. So I was asked to share my story, a bit of my entrepreneurial journey, lessons learned along the way, in hopes that it may be of some interest or some help to you as well. So as Tommy mentioned, my current work adventure is I'm the CEO and founder of Firefly Consulting. We work with companies in innovation and operational excellence. So as examples of the kind of work that we do, we worked with Austin Diagnostic Clinic here in Austin to make their processes better for the patients. We work with, working with an oil and gas company right now in Oklahoma City. They're redoing all of their manufacturing facilities and designing a completely new location. We're helping them with that. Last year, one of my favorite projects was with Interstate Batteries. They needed to get a 50% increase in their supply chain. Our team helped them with that. So if any of that resonates, if you're familiar with Lean or Six Sigma or any of those operational best practices, that's what our team does. There are 20 of us, and we have been in business for 10 years. Brought everyone a book if you'd like it. If you didn't get one, we have more in the back, so feel free to check that out. On the personal side, married to Robert, who I know knows a number of you from Gateway as well. We're celebrating our 20th anniversary this summer. Woohoo! Yeah. Shout out to Robert. And we have a son, Ian, who is 13 in middle school at Acton Academy. Recently, the Dischinger family joined Acton Academy, so we're super excited about that. If you know me from Gateway way back, I used to lead the Good Sense Ministry, which was around financial planning, if anyone's been here long enough to have remembered Good Sense. And most recently, I lead our trips to India. And it's been a lot of fun. So a bit of background, I'm originally from Michigan, the fourth cloudiest state in the US, let me say. And the entrepreneurial hero of our family was my grandfather. We would go to visit him in Illinois, and he would invite me to come in the morning with him and set up the store. And so we would set up all the jewelry, and then we would go and have breakfast, and then we would run errands, and I always thought it was just terrific. Do we have folks here who are grandparents? Any grandparents in the audience? Let's give them a round of a hand, round of applause. If your grandkids are not telling you every day how awesome you are, they will realize it when you're older. So they're older. So thank you in advance for that. So super close to my grandparents. And when I was in elementary school, my grandma gave me a little plaque for my desk, and it said, "Girl Genius." And this may sound obnoxious, but I believed it. And you know, if you have kids, you know that the current thinking on education is growth mindset. It's like, if people have a talent, you know, you don't overpraise it. You emphasize that we're all on a learning journey and we can all grow and learn. And for sure that's true. And the wisdom is that really that doesn't help them, that saying you're smart, whatever. It doesn't help children. It makes them actually more fragile. But that wasn't my story. My story was that when I was little, other people believed in me. And when I got older, and no one believed in me, I believed in myself. And I thank my parents for that, and I thank my grandparents for that. educational. I went to the University of Michigan and studied engineering, studied aerospace engineering. And when people flat out made fun of me and were insulting because they didn't think that a girl could pursue aerospace engineering, I believed in myself. And when I came to University of Texas at Austin to pursue graduate work and in aerospace engineering, and there wasn't a whole lot of support for a young woman in aerospace engineering, I believed in myself. And I'm very thankful to my parents and to my grandparents who helped me with that. Career-wise, if I fast forward a bit, I got into consulting. That's been a really good fit for me. I can do technical work, but I'm an extrovert and I'm a people person. So consulting, business consulting is about helping businesses solve problems. In our case, we worked in operational problems. And so I really like that. I joined some friends at a company in Dallas called the George Group. They were the first to innovate Lean and Six Sigma, some continuous improvement methods. I loved it there. I co-authored my first book. I loved it. I wanted to be a vice president. I was. I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. You know, sometimes you have a goal, and then when you get it, you're disappointed? This was not the case. I loved it. And my plan was to spend the rest of my life working there. Okay, so cue ominous music now. So I was very happily moving along my career journey. Our CEO, who was 67, decided he was going to retire and sell the business. Certainly don't blame him for that. Our company was sold to Accenture. Has anyone here worked for Accenture? No, usually there are a couple. It's the largest consulting firm in the U.S. And they treated us very well and gave us good jobs, but I didn't love it. They are, as I mentioned, the world's largest consulting firm, and I was coming from a firm of at most 300 people. And their goal was to grow high-margin consulting dollars via tiny acquisitions. So if anyone in the room here has had any experience in the M&A space where you were the tiny acquisition, that is often a bit of a challenge. But on the positive, I'm nothing if not an optimist. I was a partner now with the largest firm in America. Nice boost to the resume. So, you know, again, they treated us well, they paid us well, but I was really unhappy there. And that was a challenge because when our son was born, my husband had made the wonderful, wonderful choice to stay at home with him, which was absolutely terrific. But I'm now the one working in the workforce, and while I've loved my career my whole life, now I didn't. And that was definitely a low point in my professional life. I'm sure you've heard that people don't leave companies, they leave bosses. Well, this was partially true for me as well. I struggled to connect with my boss's boss and show value in a way that he appreciated. The lowest part of our relationship was I was at Disney with Robert and Ian, which he knew, and he gave me a call and asked me to hop on the next flight to Bangalore, India to take a sales meeting. So I spent 5 seconds reflecting on if I was the type of person who was going to ditch my family at Disney to hop on the next flight to Bangalore. I refused. Our relationship never recovered. So now I'm in a real ditch. So I felt very stuck at this time also. Your March speaker, Ted Beasley. How many people already know Ted Beasley? Okay, he's amazing. At the time, he was launching his professional coaching business. He was a friend of our family, and I was his first customer. So it's a small world. So I was working with Ted, and my Bible verse at the time was Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that was what I was hoping for. So with the encouragement of my professional coach and my husband, I did what absolutely no one ever does, and I quit a partner job in consulting. If you don't know the consulting world, no one quits a partner job in consulting. A partner is the brass ring of consulting. I quit my paycheck, I quit my stock options. I gave everybody a month notice. I'm still on good terms with all of those people. I even wrote a proposal for my boss after I'd already left. So super good terms, but I quit. And I walked out on that job, and my financial security and the giant dark cloud that was over my head floated away and never came back. Which is great, except there's no paycheck. And my mother said, you know, shout out to my mom. My mom said that the only people in the world in the fall of 2008 and the winter of 2009 were leaving promising jobs with absolutely no plan for their futures was the former officer team of George Group Consulting. So there you were. I started my company. I took a teaching position at the Acton MBA in entrepreneurship, which I still have. And the agreement that I had with my husband is that I would try starting a business for a year. And if that seemed promising, I would continue. If that didn't seem promising, I would interview for jobs. So this was really interesting to me. I asked Robert, he of course knows I'm giving this talk right now, and I said, well, you know our story. What would you suggest that I say? And it was really interesting to me what he hit. He said, yeah, tell them if they want to start businesses, what is their plan when it takes a lot longer than was expected for any money to come in? He said, and ask them, what is their plan when their family sees that they're working all these nights and weekends and there isn't any money and they wonder what the heck you're working on? Ask them what to have a plan for that. So I would generalize one of my main questions if one is considering launching a business with entrepreneurship is, are you willing to work hard when no one is looking and when there isn't any money coming in? Because it's a very big change from being in a traditional workplace situation where there's a boss and there are very clear expectations. From a work standpoint, I have not been accountable to anyone for years. I can either go home to my office like I'm planning to, or I could go to the mall. There's no one to tell me I can't, right? So in this environment where you're accountable to no one and it's a while to get the results, do you think you have the personality and are the type of person that would want to push through those type of challenges? So I was super fortunate also, a very good friend of mine, Christine, she's been my best friend at work for my whole life, became available and was able to join us. So I had her with me very early on. And at the end of our first year, we got a good contract with Baker Hughes, Fortune 500 oil and gas company in Houston. They're now a part of GE. And so we were up and running. And so we decided that we would continue Firefly as opposed to the other option on the table, which was my starting to send out resumes. The wisdom I'd heard at the time was that it takes about 3 years to start a business. And when I was in my first year, that sounded like 100 years, and I was really annoyed with everyone that said that to me. Now that we've been here 10 years, I think looking about in the third year was more of the time where the business was really stable. We had multiple clients, we had a good-sized team, and things were going. On the subject of being an entrepreneur, being a business owner, I love having my own business. I can't say enough good things about it. I mean, from a gateway standpoint, it offers me these opportunities to go to India. I was just there. I just got back from leading a team with John Short, who's here. Thank you. Awesome pastor, John Short. We just got back. And it was my 10th trip. I would not have been able to do that with another job. Not because I was gone so long, it was really a little over a week, that's not that long, but that I would be able to say 6 months in advance that I can block this week and hold my schedule. I wouldn't have been able to do that. So that's been a huge blessing. I also love having more flexibility for my family. And people misunderstand that a little bit because I work a lot. I work a lot of hours and I travel a lot. But I agreed to it. So if I'm on a work trip, I agreed to that trip because I thought it would be a benefit to the business and that was a worthy trip to take. So the outcome may be the same, but it feels quite a bit different when I'm making the decisions on, is this business trip worthwhile, rather than if somebody's telling me. So that's been a blessing. I love working with my friends. So the conventional wisdom is, oh, don't hire any of your friends. I hired all my previous work friends. And if I had it to do over again, I would double down on that strategy. You know, in my experience, personnel problems don't get better, they get worse. So one of our things with a group of us at Sarah is we're not going to hire anybody we don't like, right? We've got a great team culture. I love working with my friends. One of the things that we did that was a tool that would work in a lot of situations that was really helpful from the HR standpoint is we had an idea to list our team across down the left and list our company's core values across the top and then score each team member relative to our core values. Well, sure enough, the areas where we had the most conflict was where we had the greatest misalignment with our values. And then Christine, my close colleague, she had the idea to list our team members and the services that our company performs and score how we thought our individual team members did against the services that our company delivers. And that was very eye-opening as well. Some kind of simple things. Another choice that I'm happy that we've made is everyone who does the same job makes the same amount of money, and everyone knows what that number is. It was a bit of a freak out when I got into management positions and started seeing, you know, people can make $20,000 difference and do the same amount of work, do the same job, and that always made me uncomfortable, and I felt like it was really unfair. And so that was a problem we were able to solve. So for sure, it has not been all unicorns and rainbows. Here's a story, you'll get a laugh. An early client that we had was Capital One. We were doing training for them in business process management, Lean, Six Sigma, Green Belt, some other things. Yay, new client. And someone who worked for me, who is giving the training, we almost lost the client because he told sexist jokes to the class at my company, one of Austin. We win awards for Austin's top women-owned businesses. And when I talked to him about it, he didn't even get it. And it wasn't that the jokes were so bad. The jokes were just kind of dumb. But not having the understanding to not tell gender-related jokes to a room of women HR professionals at Capital One blew my mind. What an embarrassment. I also, it isn't a particularly easy business model. You know, the entrepreneurial dream is to develop a product and sell it, and then eventually you can sit at home and watch the royalties come in. Consulting doesn't work that way at all. It's inherently project-based. So all the time we have to sell new projects to keep working. I mean, you know, the project ends and now we need some more. So there is the biggest challenge in the business, which is ongoing, is managing the amount of the project work and the size and the skill set of the team we have available to deliver those projects. And I don't see a way out of that. I think that will always be a challenge for us. One of my favorite things that I've learned from my good friend and colleague, Christine, is that she says, "Thank you" and "I'm sorry" are free. So she is very quick to apologize, which is something I hope I've improved upon. And we try really hard to say thank you. We try really hard to have a culture of appreciation, both for our team and also for our customers. When I was in graduate school, our office felt that no one appreciated anything we did. So what we would do, it was a little joke between us, we would write these post-it notes, and we would write, "Thank you for your good work," or "Keep up the good work." And we'd just go around and put them on each other's desks randomly just to try to cheer ourselves up. So I've tried to take that forward. We do have awards and other things, but I think part of what I like about the culture is that the team consistently is willing to express appreciation for the job that everyone does here. We also have a culture of gifts. Who here has done the love languages test? Okay, if you haven't, it's super good. Does anyone else here have a love language that is gifts? Anyone want to admit to that? Okay, I'll admit to that. So I love gifts, and they don't need to be expensive gifts. As a matter of fact, I prefer small gifts. But when people join our company, they're just surprised that they get all these presents. So we did, Yeti's one of our clients, we did Yeti coolers for Christmas. We just planned on a birthday gift this year. It's this really cool card, it pops up and it's a firefly and the Amazon gift card, anyway. It's something that I like about our work, and the idea with it is just to say thanks, just to say, hey, I appreciate you. We appreciate each other, thanks for doing a good job. I've had many great friends, mentors, bosses along the way, but I feel a mistake that I've made with that is when I was in a situation like that, I try too hard to be them. I try too hard to be that other person that I admired who had taken an interest in me. And when I've been happiest and almost most my, and also most successful is when I feel I've been truly my most authentic self. And so that's something that I strive for every day, work as well as personal. So I mentioned my son goes to Acton Academy, and Acton Academy and Acton MBA, they do a good job of teeing up life's big questions so you think about them. And one of the questions is, have I made a contribution? Do I make any difference? Is anything I'm doing making any difference? I think about that all the time. We're also, thanks to my son, like rabid fans of Alexander Hamilton. But in reading about Thomas Jefferson, so he is waiting for the results of the election of 1800, one of the most acrimonious elections in our history, which he does eventually win against Aaron Burr. But he's writing a note reflecting on his life, waiting to hear about the election results. And what he's wondering, Thomas Jefferson, is if he's made any contribution. And he said, all the things I did would have been done by someone else if I hadn't done them, and possibly better. Well, fast forward in history, he was one of the main authors of the Declaration of Independence. I mean, he made a huge contribution. But what that points to me, is the universality of that question. Do I have a contribution? Am I making any difference? And so I feel for me that Firefly Consulting is part of my contribution. I'm proud of our team. I'm proud of the good work we do for our clients. I love our culture. I love business. And I feel like we found a way to do it in an empowering and life-giving way. And I'm proud of it. So I love India. So I'll close with a quote that can inspire all of us. Let's go forward and be the change we want to see in the world. Thank you. And I will now take any questions. Start here. Yeah.
So two questions.
Sure.
What made you shift from aerospace to continuous improvement? What made you actually move to that? And the second question is, why India?
Why India? So on the career, so some people do a really good job planning their careers. What I think I did well was walk through the open door. So I feel like I took the best of my opportunities that presented themselves. When I was little, I also wanted to be an astronaut. And the closest that I ever got to that was in consulting. I had United Space Alliance as a client. They're a joint venture between Boeing and Lockheed Martin that ran all operations for the space shuttle. And I got to work with them on quality. I got to go stand on the stack. I got to go to a launch, and that was really fun. But my secret dream in that space was to be an astronaut. It wasn't to work in defense. And I also didn't realize that aerospace is a cyclical industry that goes up and down, you know, all the time. So I didn't end up focusing on aerospace, but I get little tastes of it from time to time. I'm still interested. But I am. Why India? So I got interested in India. If you've been at Gateway long enough to know Gary Foran, he was a family friend of ours, and he was one of the founders of the church in India, where we go visit at Impact India 360. And when my husband was on staff at Gateway Church part-time, he worked for Gary Foran, and they were also good friends of our family. So Gary just talked up and up and up and up Gateway or India. But he said nothing about his role in it, because he's the most modest and humble person in the world. So when I finally go to India, there's a huge plaque on the door, like honoring him as one of their co-founders. I'm like, how did I know you for years and not know what a role you had. But Gary encouraged me to go. It was when Gateway was considering providing funding for a hospital. Gateway wanted someone to go, and I had always been interested. So I went with our missions pastor at the time and absolutely fell in love with it. And I love India.
Hi there, my name is Christina.
Hi, Christina.
I was wondering if you have any tips or advice for someone who is transitioning back into the workplace after being gone for several months, whether that's like a maternity leave or illness or helping out with a family member or anything like that.
So one of the things that makes no sense about the workplace is it's easier to get a job if you already have one. So once we step out, then it becomes a little bit harder, even though that doesn't make any sense. You know, there's a lot, a positive is that there's a lot out there. There's a lot online. It's fairly easy to connect with folks you know professionally via LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. If anyone wants to connect with me, send me a note. When I got my first job, you used to have to respond to ads in the newspaper, which was a surprisingly unfruitful way to go. But I would just encourage, you know, someone who's making a transition back that it's going to work out. And I would stand firm in faith and agreement that there is a great job out there for you. And I would network aggressively online and in person with everyone that you know to both surface job opportunities and also to help you think more about what it is you're actually interested in. Because I know one thing that was for me was a big difference between before I was a mother and after was I'm very aware of pulls on my time as a mother that I wasn't before. So if I'm going to do something else that's going to take time away from my family, I need to really love it. So I would encourage folks in that too to spend some time thinking about what they'd really love to do. And if I can help at all, let me know.
Hi.
Hi.
Curious about, I saw the assignment you had with Berkshire Hathaway on your website,
oh,
the project.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, I learn more from my clients than I think they learn from me.
Oh, yeah.
So what did you get from Berkshire Hathaway or that team get from that?
Ha ha, Berkshire Hathaway, so funny. So Berkshire Hathaway, you know, one of the most admired companies in the world, and we've had a Berkshire Hathaway client at Firefly, and I've also worked for a number of other Berkshire Hathaway companies earlier in my career. And Berkshire Hathaway's philosophy with the companies that they own is if they're doing fine, they're pretty hands-off. So one of the hilarious things for me is with the company where we were brought in to do operations consulting, we found a $300 million inventory opportunity for them, and they weren't interested in acting on it. You're a Berkshire Hathaway. So let's just put this all in one sentence. You're a Berkshire Hathaway company. You do not care about grabbing this fairly easy opportunity that's worth $300 million to your bottom line. Okay. Anyway, good company though. It was really fun to work from them. I feel our team is very experienced. Everyone's been in this line of work for 20 years or more. So it's not a junior team. So I feel we bring a lot to the table, but we also learn a lot at every single client. And that's what's fun about consulting. You meet new people, you go to a new industry. I mean, our first client was in oil and gas. Oil and gas was one of the few industries where I had absolutely no experience. I mean, there was nothing I could put forward in the most positive light to make it seem like I'd even had one day of experience in oil and gas. And I'm like, and my colleague Christine, who I was pitching the work with, was exactly the thing. I mean, there was not one day of industry experience, and I thought that might tank us. But happily, they picked us anyway, and we did a good job for them. But it's part of the fun.
Hey, by the way, I'm Justin.
Hi, Justin.
Hey, a quick question for you. One of the things that you've been describing is that a lot of your decisions were motivated by values.
Yeah.
Leaving the consulting company was kind of like, I wasn't happy there. Even the way you were just talking about building Firefly, like I want to have a workplace that is built up of my friends.
Yeah.
That it's also, when you're values driven like that, there's usually a price to pay somewhere along the way. Like there's a cost like you're gonna have to toe that line. I'm gonna hold to this value. As you've built Firefly, I'm just curious, maybe it was in that 3-year window when it was the hardest. Like anytime you've ever had to go, I'm not going to compromise on this or that as we're building this. I'm just curious if anything comes
up. Yeah, that appears in little ways all the time. In little ways. I mean, we had one yesterday where we're working on a proposal for a client and they said they wanted A, and I don't really think that's in their best interest. I don't really think that would help them. So I was talking with Christine. I'm like, you know, they're on the hook to buy, but I don't really think this is good. I don't think this is good for them. And Christine was like, well, do you think it would be better if instead it was B? I'm like, oh, I think it would be so much better. And she's like, well, why don't you pitch B? And if they don't take it, they're the client and we're giving them what they wanted, but at least we have integrity with ourselves that we said, hey, I really think what's best in this for your work is this, and here's what we would recommend. So we keep the integrity with ourselves, but they're the client. And one of the most frustrating things about working in consulting is that clients are under absolutely no obligation to listen to you. And they can pay $1 zillion for a consulting project and still take none of your recommendations. So that's something. But always, when I've had a dilemma and I've held the line, I've always been happier than when I've had a dilemma and I'm like, oh, this isn't that big deal and no one will notice. I mean, I'm not saying I'm a saint. There's that too. Oh, that's not a big deal. No one will notice. I've done that cycle enough. When I do that, I feel like garbage. I feel like garbage, even if it's a tiny thing. And if I hold the line and I'm more aligned with my own integrity, I'm happy with myself, and I'm happy with our company and the job that we're doing.
That's great, thank you. So.
Hi, my name's Yvonne.
Hi.
Hi, I have a quick question for you. I've been in the workforce since mid to late 80s, so like people who work for you, I have a lot of experience.
Yes.
I've heard people recently say things like, you should limit your resume to the last 10 years. And certainly my earlier work I've condensed or gotten rid of, but there's some stuff in there in the 90s that's very relevant to my overall experience. Do you agree to limit it to the last 10 years?
No, I don't.
Okay.
So I'm just giving you Kimberly's view of the world, which as all advice I may ever give, please feel to take or disregard. But so let me tell two sides of the story. One is that my mother-in-law, who's a wonderful person who worked into her late 60s, very consistently experienced, I feel, in gender and age-based discrimination, where people would just treat her like garbage, hoping she would quit so they didn't have to pay the workers' comp. I mean, where I just couldn't believe how much she would contribute in the workplace, and she's man Susie Sunshine every day with a shine, smile on her face, but she had some really bad luck with poor companies and poor bosses, and I couldn't believe how badly she was treated. So if I hadn't walked along her side by side, I wouldn't have seen the age discrimination. And quite frankly, I would have had a hard time believing that someone could be that crummy, but now I've seen it a few times, so I know that it is. Let me flip to my work. I'm selling experience. I'm the youngest person in our company. There's, well, one exception, there's one person younger, but I'm the second youngest person in our company at 48. And we are selling experience to our clients. So from my perspective, if someone has more experience, they just bring more to the table. And I believe that very sincerely, and we hire that way, and we deliver that way. I will say, one of my favorite people in the world who works for me, who has an absent-minded professor vibe, will tell stories, and he'll mention the dates, which I think is a mistake, and he'll tell stories from before when our clients were born. And it's like, Chuck, tell the same story, don't date it. Don't date it. Don't make it obvious that you were working like 10 years before they were born. Don't make it obvious, this is my friend Chuck. Again, I love him dearly. Don't make it obvious that you struggle with technology. He struggles with technology. He's not up with the times. Don't go LinkedIn, duh, I don't know what that is. I mean, you know, like make an effort to be current in some of the more obvious spaces. And it's a joke. If Chuck was here, I'd say the same thing and we'd have a laugh. You know, don't fumble with your computer in front of the client, like figure it out. But I very sincerely believe that folks with more experience have more to offer. And when I am in that position, which I plan to be, I plan to hit them with all of my experience and hope that they love me.
Hi, Kimberly.
Hi. Nice to see you again.
You too. So I know from India, like, yes, how great you are at coordinating all of the trip and all of the details. And I have a question for you. As you're talking through leading your organization and focusing on culture and focusing on the project work and sales and the people, there's so much there. How do you figure out what to spend your time on and what you can let go of as a woman in the workplace?
Right. So that's a perpetual dilemma. I will often, I would encourage anyone to do this that has flexibility to do so. I will often ditch work for Ian and come back to it later. Like if there's a meeting at Acton Academy or something, I'll often go and I'll just like, oh, I'll just, you know, I can do it tonight. I don't have to do it now, I can do it later. But at our company, so, you know, the entrepreneurship dream is that you're able to step out of your company. And I'm not anywhere close to that. I'm our business development lead, is the role that I have. So our team is full of technical experts that like to do work for clients. They're mostly introverts, they're mostly technical people. The last thing that they want to do is sell work. So my first priority is all things biz dev. Then I try to spend my time on anything related to people, or also part of our strategy in consulting is thought leadership. So in consulting, you say, well, you know, great, you've got a team of smart people. So do I, you know, so what and who cares? So we try to put forth ourselves as experts. So we did a book at Firefly, you know, we speak at conferences, we publish things as an effort to present ourselves as experts. So I'm biz dev people and thought leadership, keeping the option open to ditch it for Ian if I think I can get away with it. Does that answer your question? Can I say one more thing on older in the workplace? So Chuck, he told me he's been working here for, I think, I've known him for over 20 years. He's been working here at Firefly for 10 years and 3 years with three. He told me when he started he was going to retire in 3 years. He's never going to retire. But he also, his wife sadly passed away when he remarried. His wife redid his look. And I can tell you it made a difference because he was wearing old clothes from however long. I mean, he's an absent-minded professor. He's wearing old clothes from however ago. He had an old hairstyle. When he remarried, I guess that didn't work for his wife. And she got him new clothes and a new do. And he looked very much more up to date. And my thought was, wow, I hope if that's me, like I hope there's someone in my life who cares about me and will say, hey, maybe it's time for a new haircut, Kimberly, you know? Anyway, whatever it's worth.
Okay, well, let's give a round of applause for Kimberly. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And if anybody didn't get a book and wants one, they're more in the back. Feel free to connect on LinkedIn. If there's anything I can do to help you, let me know.
Great, thank you. And be sure to, and thank you for the books. We really appreciate that. Just a couple of final comments to close. As we mentioned before, save the date for March 7th. We're always going to do these on the first Thursday of the month. We may take a break 1 month in the summer and maybe around the holidays, but otherwise, if you want to put it on your calendar, first Thursday of the month right here at McNeil. So keep it simple. Secondarily, as I mentioned earlier, we're trying to grow this. We would love to fill all of this room, not just the first 50% of it. So if you enjoyed your time here today and you enjoyed Kimberly's presentation and
that would be much better. Come back.
No, I wouldn't. Different, not better. Different. No doubt. But tell your friends, tell your coworkers, spread the word. you know, tell people on Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever, like, hey, I'm going to this cool event if you liked it. So we'd love to, that's how we're going to grow this, and we're working on some kind of organic marketing as well. But in any event, we'd love for you all to get the word out if you enjoyed your time here today. And then finally, if you are interested in joining our team, like I'm going to kind of help put this together, help pick speakers, kind of help set up, you know, get the word out, whatever, just reply to the email that you got after the registration to John Short, who's right there. If you did a walk-up registration today and you're interested, you could just go talk to John when you're done, and when we're done here. And with that said, thank you for coming, and we hope to see you next month.